We're going to open our Senate Rural Communities and Economic Development Committee meeting for today, March 28th, 2013. And we have some business, we have to do some House bills that came over, which were some little work sessions we want to do. So we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2141 and House Bill 2142 concurrently. So public hearing, we have the people who are signed up are Lori Steele and Mike MacArthur, if they want to come forward. And we'll have a short explanation of the two bills.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2141 repeals a statute authorizing a tax levy by county courts to support county fairground maintenance, operation, and building construction. And then the House Bill 2142 repeals a statute requiring the county sheriff to obtain receipts from county treasurer for the previous month's transactions and provide a duplicate receipt to the county accountant. It also repeals ORS 20850, requiring county treasurers to deposit with the county clerk each month the orders redeemed. Both of these bills have no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
So with that,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mike MacArthur, Association of Counties. These bills come to us from the Government Efficiency Task Force, which was chaired during the interim by Representative Nathanson. This is for the second interim in a row. And they're primarily considered to be housekeeping measures. They were identified in statute as anachronisms that no longer should be there or just have no meaning anymore. And that task force had a general government subcommittee, and on that subcommittee was the Marion County Treasurer, Lori Steele, who's here representing the Treasurers Association to explain the bills to you.
Good afternoon. I'm Lori Steele, the Marion County Treasurer. I am here to testify on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Treasurers. I became a county treasurer a little over 10 years ago, and at that time, I started spending a lot of time reading the statutes to see exactly what the county treasurer was responsible for and liable for. And during that time, we created, myself and some other treasurers, created quite a list of those statutes. And over the years, we've been trying to come to some agreement and develop some procedures so that we are consistent from county to county on how we implement the statutes that pertain to us. And we've identified a list of statutes that no longer, they don't address the way business is done today. And some of those statutes arrived at the Government Efficiency Task Force Committee, and they've identified the ones in front of you to be repealed. The bill relating to property tax or the levies for fairgrounds is really no longer legal since we have passed other various tax measures, and we can't levy for fairgrounds any longer. This bill was missed when the others were cleaned up when measures 5 and 50 were adopted, and then the other statutes were just additional cleanup that we found that don't speak to how business is accomplished today.
So any questions for this panel?
No.
I guess the only thing I would say, so what you're basically saying is it's nice to have new treasurers come in, look over things, and find out places that are no longer in use. And it would be nice that the next treasurer that comes in doesn't have to spend their time doing what you did.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that work.
Very much.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, you know, it's interesting. If you go down to the LC library and if you look at the digest of all the state statutes and you look over the years how they continue to grow longer and longer,
true.
More books, now we're starting to short it down just a little bit.
That's just a little. And we actually very much
appreciate
that.
We have very far to go.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who is dying to testify on either of these bills? We didn't think so. So we're going to close our public hearings on House Bill 2141 and 2142, and we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2141. With that, Senator Becker.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2141 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Becker moves House Bill 2141 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Also seeing none, it passes, and we need to assign a carrier. Would you like to carry this bill?
Do away with government.
Doing away with government?
Sure.
Senator Close. She was so excited when a bill we had earlier in the session that actually did some of this stuff that I thought, right. You know, we should ask.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have closed the public hearing on 2141. We'll open, the work session, and now we're going to open a work session on 2142. Senator Barrett Sugar.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2142 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Barrett Sugar moves House Bill 2142 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Is there any objection? Seeing none. So passes. Anybody wants to take this bill?
Is there a companion to the other?
Do we do a companion bill?
Sure.
Okay, Senator Close will be our carrier.
Thanks.
We'll close our work session on 2142. And now, before I get going, we have two Senate bills we have public hearings on. Senate Bill 605, the one person that was coming to testify that had done this was sick today, is not here, so we're going to put that one off. It's really going to end up, I think, being a, we're looking at possible work group and some other kinds of stuff. Oh, no, this one has an actual amendment that we have to look at that kind of totally changes the bill. So without that person here to talk about it, it would be much better to wait until we get all that stuff today done. So we are going to open a public hearing on, we really have two of them. We could do both at the same time. What's our...
Yeah. They're kind of brother and sister.
Yeah, I think I'll open both the public hearings at the same time. Senate Bill 736 and 737. And let you know, and my name's on both, we had a number of bills that came together, and a couple of them have been joined into one. And at the end of the day, after we hear all the testimony, we may actually end up with an amendment that puts all of it together. But we want to hear from people and make sure that we're moving in the right direction. We have pretty much agreement to move forward with all of it before we do that. So that's why we're doing the public hearings. And with that, and to let people know, this is a ongoing group of bills that I personally have been involved with since the time I came 8 years ago with respect to getting our nearshore and outer shelf resources organized in a way that we can move forward in a productive conversation with the coast and with Oregon and all the different groups that want to use and share that facility. And I'm excited that it took so long, but I am excited that we've had a lot of people come together and a lot of conversation amongst lots of people to come to where we are today. So with that, let's start with, Tyson Racer.
Calvinese?
How do I say that, Tom? You can come up and do that. And Michael Silvaggio. Why did I go Silvaggio? Which I got messed up with. Make sure you identify yourself for the record, so thank you.
Okay. Once again, my name is Tyson Racer. I'm the Redfish Rocks Community Team Coordinator out of Port Orford, Oregon, and I want to thank you all for having us here today, of course. I just want to say a quick piece about this Oregon Ocean Trust bill. Today, the purpose of the community team that I coordinate, the purpose of the community team is to address issues surrounding the Redfish Rocks Marine Reserve and the Marine Protected Area, and to serve as liaisons to the community regarding matters surrounding Redfish Rocks. The Port Orford community, as you all know, has been working hard over the past 12 years to develop an innovative grassroots community-based approach to addressing issues surrounding fisheries management and our nearshore environment. In Port Orford, one of the organizations leading the way over those past 12 years has been that Port Orford Ocean Resource Team, who's directed by a board of 5 local commercial fishermen and is a nonprofit organization that's really been leading the way. The Port Orford Ocean Resource Team has long been committed to making decisions based on sound science in our area. As some of you may be aware, in 2008, the Ocean Resource Team, in collaboration with state and local stakeholders, began a process to establish the Redfish Rocks Marine Reserve. And with the passage of House Bill 3013, the Redfish Rocks was designated as the first pilot marine reserve and also allowed for the development of the Redfish Rocks Community Team. The Redfish Rocks community team today is comprised of local fishermen, commercial fishermen, and recreational fishermen. It has researchers, educators, business owners, local government. We have a county commissioner on the team. We have the mayor of Port Orford on our team, as well as the port manager, as well as a port commissioner. In 2000, just to give you an idea of how science is what we've been up to in Port Orford and the community team and the stake that we have in the Marine Reserve, in 2011 and 2012, biennium, the community team has been working really hard to leverage some science and research in the area. ODFW has contributed $178,000 towards that research and science in the area, as well as we've been able to leverage another $100,000 for complementary research in the area. So we've been up to a lot of hard work, and to follow up a little bit more about that science and what we've been up to, I just want to pass it over to Tom Calvinese, and he can talk a little bit more about our current project.
Thanks, Tyson. My name is Tom Calvinese. I'm a graduate student in fisheries science at Oregon State University. I'm working on completing my Master's of Science degree there, and the research that I'm doing for my thesis is being done at Redfish Rocks Marine Reserve. I visited Port Orford a few years ago looking for an appropriate project for my background in rockfish ecology and physiology, and met with some of the board members of the Ocean Resource Team who'd been engaged in, as you just heard from Tyson, in the Marine Reserve process, and I listened to their questions about what they were doing at the Marine Reserve, and they felt pretty confident about the size and location of the reserve, but had some outstanding questions about certain species that were being targeted for protection, which had come under heavy fishing pressure in the past, particularly in the live fish fishery out of Port Orford. You might or might not know that Port Orford holds over half of the nearshore permits in the state and has a very viable live fish fishery, which sometimes targets redfish rocks and has put heavy fishing pressure on some of those species targeted for protection, such as China rockfish, quillback rockfish, and copper rockfish. Their question was, will the reserve of this size and in this location be sufficient and adequate to provide protection to those species on the basis of their behavioral ecology? So what I've done is launch a two-year project using acoustic telemetry, which is essentially surgically implanting a pinger in a fish that transmits its location to a series of receiving devices that I've placed in the reserve, and tracked those fish over about a year and a half for each of those fish. I tagged 30 fish there, and I can tell you that 2 years down, we've got close to 5 million detections of those fish and migratory species that have been tagged by other researchers, which is sort of a bonus data set that we're getting that tells us a lot about how this area is connected to other similar ecological regions up and down the coast. Also valuable information we wouldn't receive otherwise. So what I can tell you is that we've learned a lot about that, but the important thing I want you to know about the project is that from the beginning and until today, it's been a partnership with a community that's been interested in the findings of this research. They posed the question to me, and we worked together from the beginning to design the hypothesis, design the project, the location of the array, to capture the species to be tagged, to design the gear that's been used in the reserve, which for the first time on the Oregon coast, we have acoustic telemetry data year-round. No one has ever done that through the winter before. And I have the fishermen in Port Orford to thank for designing gear that can withstand the rigors of the exposed coastline there. So the sort of take-home message is that there's a lot of interest in collaboration with researchers from the fishing community there. In fact, for the first year of the project, the field work and the boat time that was donated or used to carry out the project was donated by local commercial fishermen. Since then, we were able to identify funding to support that collaborative research program, and it has grown. We're working on a training program now to bring that knowledge exchange further into the community and out into other communities, and partnering with other collaborative research facilities elsewhere. In the meantime, we're building on that and building building the infrastructure that'll be necessary to continue research both in the Marine Reserve around Marine Reserve effectiveness, as well as research that's needed to understand better the local stocks and their ability to sustain the fishing pressure they're coming under by the community, as well as traceability of the value-added product that's being marketed by as sustainable seafood, and that's taking on some quite a cachet amongst lots of communities. People are very interested in knowing where their seafood is coming from and whether it was harvested sustainably or not. So we intend to do research to support those efforts as well. And we see the Marine Reserve as part of a larger approach to fishing sustainably. And that means fishing sustainably for today, tomorrow, and into the future, and doing it in a way that local small business fishermen can continue to fish in the future and support their families and support the local town. And I should mention that I'm also a part-time commercial fisherman myself in the sea urchin commercial diver fishery. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. But we have that's just wanted to give you that one example of a very successful project and the kind of project that I think would be would benefit from this bill. And I think I just want to say I support the bill. I think it's a good idea. And I think that we have a lot more work to do. And with this kind of support, I think we'll be able to be effective at doing that and working with the local community to understand better our nearshore resources, how to use them better, and in the process, provide actual employment opportunities for commercial fishermen who are looking to diversify their portfolio further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, Michael Salvaggio from the State Treasurer's Office. I'm here to express the Treasurer's enthusiastic support of this concept, speaking about Senate Bill 737, and also to convey our support of the 737-2 amendments I think you have in front of you, with one note on that, and that is in Section 1, Subsection 9. When it has the State Treasurer's Office providing various support functions to the Trust, we are pleased to provide technical assistance and management of the establishment of the fund itself described in Section 3. We do feel, however, that we lack the technical and management expertise regarding the marine science functions. So we would, it is our understanding that that's still under discussion and will likely have some kind of other entity, likely a natural resource entity, take on the science end of things while we'll be focusing on the financial end of things. I don't have much testimony. Suffice to say, the state treasurer feels that the state's oceans are a very important asset to maintain, and we're looking forward to working with a bunch of stakeholders to see how we can best do that and best be of help.
Any questions? I do want to talk to our people who came all the way from Port Orford today, which is a wonderful drive. And at least the weather was nice today. So I, those two things are nice. You know, because a lot of these people are new to this discussion and don't understand the things that Port Orford has done. I just wanted to make sure you have a facility there now that is being designed for research. I don't know if you got to use the facility or not. And I think the impact of that came from work that your group did coming to the legislature to say, help, we have this opportunity. Can we do that? Can you speak to that at all? Are you doing anything in that building at this time, or are we still waiting to get it fixed up?
We have currently broken ground at the
moment. Okay, very
good. So it's getting underway. We have the blueprints made up, and we're in the process of building it out so that building can be utilized to start doing research at this. We're calling this more of a field station.
Yeah, field station. That's a good way of putting it.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Michael, since you're from the Treasury, I'm just trying to follow the money here because it talks in the original bill about the fund established in the Treasury going to DLCD, and then in the amendment it's going to Department of Energy. So could you explain that change?
Which bill? That's the other bill. That's 736. And you really talked about 737, right? That bill is probably going to be morphed to this group.
Okay.
So if you look at 737, you will see the formation of that fund. And that's the one that eventually will be taking this money. So it won't be the Department of Energy.
Okay. It's just kind of confusing.
It is very confusing. And I'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And maybe our next person coming up can talk about that, too. So, no other questions? Thank you for being here, and thanks for doing the research. You know, the interaction between the fishermen and that in at Redfish Rocks and the science community has been a real big advantage over time. So,
I can tell you for sure that we never would have accomplished it without them.
That's true.
Thank you.
Thank you. So next, Jenna Carter. And?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of Senate Bill 736. For the record, my name is Amanda Rich, and I am the Director of State Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy here in Oregon. And with me today is Gina Carter, and she is our Director of our Marine and Coastal Program, and she is my expert witness on these issues. Before I pass the baton to Gina, I just wanted to thank you, Chair Roblin, for your continued efforts and your championing of Oregon's ocean resources. And also would like to say that we look forward to the continuing discussion on these two bills. So now to Gina.
Thank you. Chair Roblin and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 736. For the record, my name is Gina Carter, and I am the Marine and Coast Director for the Oregon Chapter of the Nature Conservancy. I have some short remarks for you today and also submitted my full testimony for the record. I'm here today to support and testify in support of Senate Bill 736. The bill does four important things. The bill takes advantage of a federal structure that is already in place and will be providing Oregon with revenues. As you may be aware, Oregon's jurisdiction over ocean waters extends from the shoreline out to 3 miles. Beyond this, the federal government has jurisdiction out to 200 miles offshore, and there's a notable exception to this in the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, where a special zone for energy development exists between 3 and 6 miles offshore. In this zone, the statute requires the federal government to share revenues from oil, gas, and marine renewable energy with adjacent states like Oregon. Specifically, the federal government provides Oregon with 27% of lease easements, fees, and other operating expenses. So as development takes place offshore, and in our case, it will most likely be wave energy, we can anticipate these revenues. Secondly, Senate Bill 736 proposes to take those revenues and deposit them into the Ocean Resources Fund and use those monies for a competitive grant program for ocean science and stewardship. We rely on the ocean as a source of transport, commerce, sustenance, and inspiration, yet our knowledge of the ocean is incomplete. Many questions emerge every day, and often the budget to support those questions and answer things about biology and socioeconomic circumstances are lacking. So dedicating these revenues back into the ocean makes sense. A third aspect of Senate Bill 736 is a proposal to share the monies with the coastal communities. While energy development occurs offshore, many of the impacts occur locally. Senate Bill 736 provides coastal communities with a third of the state's funds to cope with the cost of development and to take actions necessary to minimize the impact of development. Lastly, this bill sets Oregon up for future opportunities and legislative changes at the federal level. As an example, earlier this month, U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska introduced legislation that would expand the geographic area for revenue sharing out to 200 miles offshore and also increase the percent that states would get. Having the Ocean Resources Fund proposed in 736 in place will allow Oregon to quickly take advantage of opportunities such as this. So in closing, to my knowledge, if Senate Bill 736 is passed, Oregon will be the first state in the nation to pass a bill specifically aimed at capturing and reinvesting marine renewable energies. So I think that's really exciting, and I thank the committee and Chair Roblin for your leadership on this bill, and we look forward to working with you, and I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is going, yes. Any other people?
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out that we have dash one amendments in the back there for Senate Bill 736 and then dash two amendments in the back as well for Senate Bill 737.
And that's all the people who signed up to testify. Is there anybody else that would like to before I make some comments? I just want to...
We have both bills open right now, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we have been working with a lot of people, and many of them are sitting out here in the room, and I appreciate Joe being here from the Commodities Commission to our doctor who cut to us yesterday from the Sea Grant to another one of our professors and doctors from the Combs group over at Newport. So, and we've got some people from Surf Rider who happen to be here as well. So people who I've been working with for the last 8 years or so, trying to figure out how do we get resources for research on the ocean. And what these bills, and I think what we're going to finally end up with is these two bills. We wanted to see if there was any concerns that people had with some of them. And one of the other people who was an integral part of this was Terry Thompson, so who a lot of people know, who was a legislator here before. Terry was the one who said, before the money starts coming in, I'd like the counties to get part of it. So when we talked about having a split of the money coming in, that 30%, one-third of it that's going to go to the counties of our share, was really an idea that he had. And the Nature Conservancy had not really thought about that. They thought about making it for ocean research, and we got them all together, and they came to agreement. And then with my other group that has been working for years to try to figure out how can we get a research, a fund set up that we can gather money from anybody who wants to give it to us and then use it for what Oregon wants to find out about the oceans. Both of them had that same idea, and in talking to our different agencies, I have to say that the treasurer was the person who, after we've talked to all these people, was the one who said, I'd really love to do this. I think we can make it work here as long as we have a way to get the expertise from other agencies that can help us do that. We know how to manage the money. You tell us how to where the research should go and so on. And so these are combined with some of the other bills you heard of yesterday, with the issue with changing STAC and making sure that we can have a science advisory committee that we could actually ask for help from, that we heard from yesterday. This is where the funds become for us to ask them to do some work and to do some competitive grant work for us, which Sea Grant has done around the country. So it is finally trying to figure out how to get all of these things together, and that's what this package of stuff that we've been hearing about is today. So I just want to thank all the people in the room who have spent so much time getting us to here today, and to end of the committee. So, yeah, with that.
I'm just wondering why everyone's sitting in the back.
I know. just like church. They know where the cameras are now.
Yeah.
You know, they've been here enough.
Yeah,
they've been here enough that they know that if they sit right underneath the camera, it can't get to me. They don't realize that we have some over here that are looking right back at them, and they're getting they get the full view. But they think if they're far enough away, they'll be small enough.
Yeah.
That people can't see them.
It's either church or school, always to the back.
That's true.
So, Chair Roblin,
yes.
You're going to marry those two together.
We anticipate. We've got some amendments. We have some people going to see how we can do that. We're also making sure that we feel good that the treasurer has what they need to make sure that they feel comfortable with the responsibility that they're taking on. So it's getting those last few things together. And I hope that next week we can have a bill that comes here just for a work session, so along with the ones we heard yesterday. So I want to thank you all for being here. Those of you who have been in this building for a long time and know how sometimes bills take multiple sessions to get to the point where they are. When we had meetings about marine reserves and any of these conversations at the same time that was going on, these rooms would fill up. We need another room to have people to talk. And as we have come to getting some of that stuff done, you can see that tenor has calmed down. People have learned to trust each other or not, but they've at least learned to talk to each other in ways that they didn't do before. And for the coast, that's really exciting to us because we have a hard enough time getting things done. It's better when we're working together to try to get those things done. And I'm excited about this. So with that, we will close our public hearing on Senate Bill 736 and Senate Bill 737. And since we have put off 605, I think that takes care of the work. We're going to get done a little bit early today again. So with that, we're going to close our committee for today.
Thank you
very much. Hope you have a little bit